goes by the pseudonym Bo Snerdly.
It's time for the Soul of Excellence.
He is a radio host at 77 WABC here in New York.
The Rush Hour is on the air.
Rush.
Now here's Bo Snerdly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Welcome, my friends. Bo Snerdly's Rush Hour, the Tuesday edition here on WABC. If you'd like to be part of the program this afternoon, 800-848-WABC is the number to reach us. 800-848-9222. The trial, of course, is still dominating headlines. There are so many other headlines I hope to get to this afternoon besides the trial, but let us start with the trial. The judge, Juan Merchan, has warned former President Donald Trump against speaking during jury selection. He said, I won't tolerate that. I won't have jurors intimidated in this courtroom. Take a moment and speak to your client. He addressed Trump's defense team. The judge claims that Donald Trump had spoke audibly while a juror was at the podium and made gestures toward the juror. Of course, still out there is the complaint from the DA of Manhattan, Alvin Bragg, who can't seem to keep criminals, real criminals, in jail or stop them from getting out and harming innocent people, but can use the resources of the city to attack Donald Trump in this political persecution. That motion that he filed Tuesday was to hold former President Donald Trump in contempt of court. And, of course, nothing would suit Bragg better than to be able to do to Donald Trump what he can't seem to do to real criminals, which is to put him in jail. Three jurors thus far have been selected. After questioning a pool of 96 potential jurors, three individuals have been chosen. So that's a quarter of the jurors. At least 73 jurors have been dismissed. Some for citing bias in the case. Others had health issues or scheduling conflicts. This jury selection is anticipated, says the press, to take at least another week. And Donald Trump did speak earlier ahead of the trial this morning. He said, we have a Trump-hating judge. We have a judge who shouldn't be on the case. He's totally conflicted. But this is a trial that should never happen. It should have been thrown out a long time ago. Absolutely right. Only one in three Americans, says the Associated Press, believes that Donald Trump did anything illegal in the New York hush money case. About one-third of U.S. adults say Trump did something illegal. Two-thirds say nope. And according to the AP, their polling shows that most adults are fairly skeptical that Donald Trump is getting a fair shake from prosecutors. He's not. This judge has also delayed a ruling on allowing Donald Trump off to go to his son's graduation. There are editorials today. The theme of many of them is that this judge is demeaning Donald. It's a demeaning way to treat Donald Trump. Lee Zeldin has a piece today. Instead of fighting crime, Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg launches a Trump show trial, and that's exactly right. Lee Zeldin points to things that have happened in the city. New York police officers being beaten by a group of criminal aliens released from jail with no bail. The subways turned into an underground crime system. Women being sucker punched in broad daylight in New York. Too many children in the city trapped in the cycle of multi-generational poverty, stuck in poorly performing public schools, businesses closing, homeowners that are unable to defend their property from squatters, the inflationary pressures that people are facing, while the quality of life deteriorates in New York. Big Apple, he says, is becoming rotten, poisoned by left, far left elected officials pushing their radical pro-criminal, anti-business, anti-taxpayer agenda. Well said, Lee Zeldin. And instead of leading with courage to defend New Yorkers by enacting the necessary changes to make life safer, freer, and more affordable, our, meaning New York's elected officials, have set their sights elsewhere, trying to imprison and bankrupt President Biden's chief political opponent, Donald Trump. Lee Zeldin has it right. New York Times, Maggie Haberman was on CNN claiming that Trump appears to be sleeping, and later on claimed that Donald Trump had glared at her. Maggie Haberman is the story, you see. Donald Trump glared at her. Washington Post, New York trial focuses on tawdry scandal could underscore Trump's weakness with women. And perhaps that is the point of trying to get to and allow this to become a trial about Trump's sexual history. Something, by the way, they don't do when it's someone like E. Jean Carroll. And do you think that any of this could be connected with the election? Certainly, I do. I wonder if you do. There are other issues in the news, as I said. You are free to talk about the Trump trial. The jury selection is still underway. We won't be getting to the meat of that trial until the jury is seated. There is a story today, and it connects with other stories. It has nothing to do with nothing except for, oh, before I get to that, let me interrupt myself and reach for the other stack. This is glaring at me. Headline, you can find this story today at the Daily BS. Group in Mexico displays flyers urging illegal aliens to vote for Biden. An advocacy group based in northeastern Mexico that lobbies U.S. lawmakers has distributed and posted flyers encouraging illegal immigrants that are here in the United States to go vote. Vote for President Biden, according to the Heritage Foundation's Oversight Project. Translated from Spanish, the Oversight Project notes that the flyers were posted by an organization, Resource Center Matamoros. It quotes the group, "Reminder to vote for President Biden when you are in the United States. We need another 4 years of his term to stay open." A direct appeal for illegal immigrants to do what is illegal, vote in the United States elections. And how could they? Well, easy. You have states that don't require voter ID, that require same-day registration. And who's going to go look and vet all that stuff afterwards? I wonder. It shouldn't happen, but this group seems to think that it does happen or could happen. And so they want illegal immigrants to participate in the federal elections and make sure to vote for Joe Biden, because that's how we can keep this racket of illegal immigration flowing into the United States. In Chicago, an alderman there, Raymond Lopez, has spoken out on how illegal immigration has also become a public health concern. He warned Democrats in Chicago, his party, that they are neglecting their own citizen as they passed Mayor Brandon Johnson's request for $70 million additional to help illegal immigrants who have come to that city. We're not taking care of our own, says Alderman Chris Taliaferro of the 29th Ward during that meeting. "We've all but forgotten the residents on the west side and the south side. The city has already allocated $150 million to help with the growing migrant crisis. and other city officials also questioned the mayor there's request for additional $70 million to help illegal immigrants. And what are they doing for the residents of Chicago? Well, yeah. What are they doing? I had stories yesterday that I didn't get to about the violence in Chicago over the last weekend. A 9-year-old child was killed, 10 other people injured, including a 1-year-old and an 8-year-old, when gunfire broke out at a family gathering in Chicago. No suspects arrested. Deputy Chief of Police says that this was not a random act of violence. It was, he believes, gang-related. There was another story out of Chicago. 8 dead, 40 others wounded in Chicago weekend shootings. This is the violence that takes place in Chicago over a weekend. The victims of this weekend's violence range in age from 8 to 59 years old. 10 of the victims were under the age of 18. And they walk you step by step through all of the murders in this particular story. But meanwhile, where are the resources going? The resources are going to make sure that illegal immigrants in Chicago can be made comfortable. Now, the story that I interrupted myself. Those of you who believe that government is your answer, government is your savior for everything. I happened across this story. It was in the Daily Mail. Exclusive, sex for KFC. What really happened between guards and inmates at California Women's Prison, where Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman served time? It's being shut down over a rape club scandal, the notorious prison in California known as the Rape Club by inmates and club fed for celebrity inmates like Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin, will be closed down after years of rampant sexual abuse by staff against female prisoners. Some of the inmates at FCI Dublin, located 21 miles east of Oakland, are already being moved to other prisons on Monday, when officials with the Federal Bureau of Prisons announced plans to close the facility. Now, this story goes into detail about how guards are bribing inmates with, well, they cite the former Hollywood madam, Heidi Fleiss, who spent time at the jail. And she recounted her time in the prison. She says, while I was there were inmates eating Kentucky Fried Chicken. And I knew right away they were effing the guards, because that fried chicken definitely did not come from the prison menu. I remember one woman told me, hey, look at this. And then she showed me her lingerie as she was eating her KFC. And all I said to her was, oh, that's nice. But what I really thought was, none of my girls had to F for fried chicken. So she went into great detail about how corrupt this jail was. And here's the point that I'm making, the broader point. The feds can't even manage a jail. They can't even manage a prison. Your federal government, they're closing it down because of so many allegations of improper behavior from the workers raping the staff and boinking. And I'm sorry, raping the inmates and boinking the inmates. They can't even run a prison. This is a federal prison. I have heard reports of what goes on at the Miami Fed, where they're holding Peter Navarro and other people, how that prison is run by gangs, and the feds can do nothing to stop it. And I've heard anecdotal stories about that. These people, and look at what happened in New York at the Fed jail here, where Epstein, does anybody honestly believe that Epstein took his own life? Anybody? Any takers on that one? So the evidence comes in. These people can't even run a prison. Then I have another story. Here's state government. This one you can find in today's Daily BS. California, it says, has no idea how much its homeless programs are costing. An audit found that out. They don't even know how much they're spending. They're just shoving billions of dollars with no accountability. The state has not consistently tracked and evaluated the state's efforts to prevent and end homelessness. They just throw money at it. But it's not effective. They can't even get past an audit of how the money is being spent. This is government at work. Here's another story. Now, this one may seem to you unrelated. But it is related. Counterfeit Botox. Blamed in 9-state outbreak of botulism-like illnesses. Dangerous counterfeit versions of Botox are being linked to an outbreak that has sickened 19 people in 9 states, caused 9 hospitalizations, federal safety officials are warning. How is that related? How do illegal drugs make it onto the market through the system and end up in consumers' faces or wherever else they're putting the Botox? There's another story I have about the amount of fentanyl that is pouring over the borders. And we all know how that happens. The government can't manage the borders. Every single aspect of government seems to be failing to do their mission. But what do they want? More power, more money. Martin Quinton passed away. He's a British composer, guitarist. Played with the rock band Steamhammer. He also co-wrote this one with Rod Stewart. Martin Quinton passes away on this day in 2015. The music lives on. WABC Talk Radio 77. James Golden, Bo Snerdly with you here, 800-848-9222. The morning sun, when it's in your face, really shows your age. But that don't worry me none. In my eyes, you're everything.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
James Golden, known popularly as Bo Snerdly.
This is The Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly.
Rush.
WABC Talk Radio 77. Give you my love. 1970, Led Zeppelin, certified gold with this one, Whole Lot of Love. Still sounds good. Your calls are coming up on WABC. There is, I said yesterday, I had asked Princess Di if she would come on this week, and I'm going to see if she can come on either tomorrow or Friday to talk about this case going on at NPR. And it has another today turn of the page, something new. The person that exposed the NPR bias, Uri Berlin, has now been suspended by the woke CEO of NPR. This case, this story continues to unfold. It's a fascinating one to me. I'll see if we can get Princess Di on either tomorrow, as I said, or on Friday so that we can discuss this case. There's also something I'll discuss with her that is related. There is a documentary that PBS has put out that is tar and feathering their own, one of their own former hosts. That would be William F. Buckley. He used to do a show called Firing Line. In fact, I watched it when I was a kid. That's where I first became acquainted with William F. Buckley, Jr. So they did a supposedly documentary about him, but it is just, according to those who watched it, I haven't seen it, awful. And they also used that documentary to attack Rush Limbaugh. So I will put that with the NPR story and deal with that at another point when we have a little bit more time. The Supreme Court today took a look at the January 6th case and whether prosecutors have used the obstruction law properly in trying to get these people jailed for incredible lengths of time. And apparently the use of the obstruction law has been met with some skepticism by members of the Supreme Court, including Clarence Thomas, who wasn't there yesterday. Unexplained absence, and, you know, that caused a little bit of panic, but he was there today. Now, this could have implications in Donald Trump's case with Jack Smith, because Smith is also trying to use this obstruction clause to say that Donald Trump obstructed Congress with the so-called riot, or they like to term it as an insurrection. So the justices asked some very pointed questions, and the answers that they got seem to indicate that this may not go well for the prosecutors who have used the obstruction clause, the obstruction law, to try to throw significant jail time at some of the J6 defendants. We shall see. I don't know when this ruling, I guess, should be part of the June ruling. So any number of weeks now, that within the next 12 weeks, we should be hearing what the court really thinks of this obstruction law. Not what the press thinks about it. One account in the press from 2 hours ago from Reuters says the U.S. Supreme Court leans toward January 6th rioter, an obstruction case with Trump implications. The justices heard arguments in Joseph Fisher's appeal to a lower court ruling rejecting his attempt to escape the federal charge of corruptly obstructing an official proceeding, that being the congressional certification of President Joe Biden's victory over Donald Trump. Some of the conservative justices posed tough questions to Solicitor General Elizabeth Preloger about the Justice Department's application of an obstruction provision that is in the 2002 Sarbanes-Oxley Act that dealt with accounting fraud. So we'll see again in the end of the term how this, not the end of the term, the end of this first term of the Supreme Court, how this plays out. Let's check in with Kim Komando. We're going to come back, grab some of your telephone calls. Check in with traffic as well. Oh, man, the Pink Panther theme. Heavenly birthday today for one of America's most prolific composers, conductors, and arrangers. The one, the only Henry Mancini. This is among his best-known works, the Pink Panther theme. He also composed that beautiful song, Moon River. And that one, every time I think of Moon River, I think about Andy Williams. And that beautiful song composed by Henry Mancini. The theme from Peter Gunn is another Henry Mancini. Born in 1924, passed away in 1994. This is forever music. Henry Mancini, an American icon, here on WABC, Talk Radio 77.
Hour is on the air. Attention Ditto Heads. Attention Bo Scouts.
Rush
on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
. 2021, Mike Mitchell, the Kingsmen guitarist, passed away. They were a garage band, rock and roll, blue-eyed soul, it says, from Portland, Oregon. You all know this one, Louie Louie, which was banned in some places. Yeah, because people couldn't understand the lyrics. They thought they were singing something nasty. Anyway, 130 weeks on the charts. This one. Mike Mitchell from the Kingsmen on WABC Talk Radio 77. Let us head to the telephones and begin with our dear friend, Adam, from Long Island. Adam, how are you? You must be in paradise with this Trump trial going on.
Well, sir, I'm in paradise because you said something wrong before, and I'm going to correct you.
Oh, good.
You said Rudy was going to beat that defamation case on appeal. The appeals court, the federal appeals court, denied him, and he has to pay that $148 million in damages, sir. You haven't talked about that.
I have not talked about it because the appeals process isn't over yet. Appeals court is not the highest court in the land. If the Supreme Court refuses to take the case and it's found, then I will concede. I'm not going to concede until then. And this is a tremendous injustice to Rudy. So we'll see. He probably, and we'll have to check with him. My guess is that the appeals process is not over yet. I don't know that for sure. I haven't talked to Rudy about it. But my guess is that it's not over yet. That's the reason. So before you celebrate, just hold on to the celebration. And by the way, was this the full panel? Because he may even have I don't know whether this will, I'll have to go back and look. If this was a three-judge panel of the full appeals court, he can also appeal to have the entire appeals court look at it.
Sir,
in that district.
The evidence is not going to change, sir. The evidence won't change.
The evidence won't change, but look, the appeal is not about what you or I think the evidence is. It is whether the trial was conducted fairly and whether there are grounds to appeal it based on the way and the rulings that took place. So we shall see. What was entered into evidence is not going to change. But the way it was interpreted by the judges there, or whether there were other things, not allowing him to present evidence that would have benefited him, or any number of things that could affect an appeal. So, your celebrations are a little bit early on that, Adam. That's all I'm saying. They're early.
That's two down. He lost two. Okay.
Okay, and sometimes you do lose two, and you ultimately win at the Supreme Court level. That's not unusual in our system of justice.
Every other court case, I wonder why you didn't talk about that one, though, sir.
I opened up talking about the Trump case. And right now we've got three jurors. I spent the first 10 minutes of the show talking about it.
You got six jurors now. Six.
Well, since the time that I came up into the studio, now they may have picked six. So three more. So, okay, we've got half the jury pool. I'm have the jury of the case selected.
Heaven.
Keep laughing at him. Keep laughing.
Okay. I'll call you Saturday, sir.
All right, I'm looking forward to it. Let's go to Susan, upstate New York. How are you, Susan?
Well, I'm not looking forward to hearing from him. He's just evil, as far as
he's
I'm
not
concerned.
Evil.
I mean, sweetheart. No,
he's not evil.
He's got disability. All he's doing is sitting around. He's taking joy out of this injustice. But that's not what I called about.
Okay.
A week ago yesterday, judges in New York State let convicted felons of violent crimes out to see the eclipse.
That's right.
This cruel, I won't say, it's a four-letter word, this cruel judge, allegedly, he's an operative of the Democratic Party, is not allowing Donald Trump to go to his son's graduation.
We don't know that for certain yet. He has withheld a ruling, and he has not ruled one way or another. So he said he will rule. But he has not ruled yet. So it's premature to say he's not going to let Trump go to the graduation.
Okay. Now,
but that doesn't mean, I mean, he could have just said on the spot, sure, we'll let you off the day of your son's graduation. He could have done that. He didn't.
Okay. Yeah. Now, here's the other thing. Bragg, who has reduced 52% of felonies to into misdemeanors, all right? And now even Alan Dershowitz said that this, what they're charging him with, it wouldn't even be a misdemeanor. It's not even a crime. And that also that it's up to the defendant if they want to go to court. It's their right to go. And that they're forcing Donald Trump. This is obviously election, interference. But
interference.
What we can do. Yeah, but what we can do, all of us were really frustrated because as Biden trounces around all of these states, like Pennsylvania, all these swing states, I mean, maybe the more they see him, the better it is for us, actually. But that we can get in touch now with the new leadership at the RNC. Laura Trump is flipping all this into a real machine that we can volunteer. So while Donald Trump has to sit there being tortured, held hostage by this corrupt whole thing, we can take action for him. I think 1,000 of us that are listening right now, you can get onto the RNC website. You can get in touch with her. You can go to the volunteer page. And put your county in. You have a place to put comments of what your background, what you'd like to most do. There are so many things. So let's stop complaining. Donald Trump stands, but he is there so that this doesn't happen to us. So I really urge people, as you can see, I'm worked up. And you know what? But you know what? Apathy and complaining is not going to do it, people. You can go on your phone. They will give you phone numbers of people, of likely voters, of early voting, of so many things. But they need us. We're the army, okay? Okay, I love you, Bo. I'm sorry. I'm just...
No, don't you dare apologize. Don't you dare apologize. I love your passion, and I love your common sense solutions that you come up with. And this is a solution. This is a solution. You can get involved. You don't have to sit on the sidelines and just watch. And Susan, I hope that your passion is contagious. Thank you for the call. We so appreciate it. Let's go to New Jersey and Sandra. Sandra, how are you?
Oh, fine, James. Susan is contagious. This is great. I wanted to say that I listened to Biden's campaign early in Scranton with nauseam. I didn't listen to very much of it, but he boasted about all the millions he's getting in campaigns. Now, I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, any average person is only allowed to donate $12,500. So how come Mark Zuckerberg was able to donate $400 million?
Look, this gets into this gets complex. There are education There's education, voter education money. There's also super PAC money. And then there's regular PAC money. There are so many ways that people can contribute. I just read an article today that Soros is putting $60 million more in this election and channeling through Democrat groups. And then there's the dark money, so-called dark money, the untraceable money. These elections end up spending billions of dollars. And you better believe that there will be billions spent on this 2024 election cycle. So those are the limits that an individual, but once can contribute to an individual campaign. But there are many other ways for people to donate money, and that goes into the PACs, which and super PACs, which are not supposed to be coordinating their efforts with the candidates. It can also go into voter education, and that's where all these get out the vote organizations like the one Zuckerberg set up. They set up their own organizations to do voter education and work on voter-related issues. Now, it so happened that the areas that Zuckerberg and his people worked on with this get-out-the-drive effort got out the vote for Democrats. Republicans can play under the same rules, too, except there's a little problem with Republicans. And I'll have to go into this and be careful how I do it because it involves legalities. There have been Republicans that raised money for Donald Trump that are no longer able to do it, because the DOJ went after them for supposed violations. But that's another story for another day. But, Sandra, there's all kind of money that flows through politics. And it's not just the individual donations that individuals can make to political campaigns. Thank you so much for your call. Time for us to check in with Lou Dobbs. Diego, explain.
Today is the heavenly birthday of Selena Quintanilla Perez, best known as Selena, who was a Mexican-American singer, also known as the Queen of Tejano music. She was actually murdered by the president of her fan club, Yolanda Saldivar, in 1995, if you can believe that. And Warner Brothers made a film based on her life, starring Jennifer Lopez in 1997. She was born in 1971. Happy birthday, Selena.
Thank you, Diego.
You're welcome.
This was a huge story when she was murdered. That is the first time I really became acquainted with Selena. She was a very, very gifted artist. Life cut all short. Too short. Let's check in with Lou Dobbs right now. Back with more of your telephone calls here on Bo Snerdly's Rush Hour, WABC.
Rush. It's the Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Again, another heavenly birthday, this time for Jerry Rafferty, Scottish singer and songwriter. My favorite album from Jerry Rafferty had this number two hit, Baker Street. Also on this album, Right Down the Line, which was an amazing song. The one, the only, Jerry Rafferty, born on this day, 1947. He left us in 2011, just 63 years old.
James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, presents Rapid Phones.
And we go to David in Pennsylvania. David, how are you? Thank you for holding.
Hello, James. I'm most concerned about you getting sued for practicing psychiatry without a license. What do you mean, Dave? You can't.
What do you mean, Dave?
Adam, you can't rehabilitate that guy, Adam, without drugs. And you got to have drugs to rehabilitate him, right? Adam,
we don't
sir?
Have to. Look, I'm just happy that Adam was happy today. You know, I don't mind him being wrong about things, and I try to correct him when I can. He's not good. I love Adam. I simply do. David, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Jacqueline in Brooklyn, New York, you're up next.
Hi, James. You know, following up with what Gino just said, I mean Dave, in regard to Adam, I have a couple of facts for Adam since he really knows little about anything. First of all, the previous district attorney, Cy Vance, wouldn't bring a case, which is basically a confidentiality case. Everybody's calling it a hush money case, but it's basically a confidentiality case, which happens all the time. And the reason Cy Vance wouldn't bring a case is because he specifically said there was no case, there was no crime. And the same is true at the federal level with regard to the federal prosecutor for the Southern District. Not only that, originally the underlying charge was a misdemeanor for falsifying business records. Now, New York law allows the charge to be transmuted into a felony if you can prove that the defendant falsified the business records with the intent to commit another crime. And they need to specify what that other crime is. Not four crimes, but only one, because that could lead to double jeopardy if they're not convicted on the first crime. And the other, they could bring the case with the other three crimes. But there's so much more to this. The judge has a conflict of interest. His daughter raised over $93 million fundraising, and the New York Post, a very credible source, researched it and proved it. So
not just fundraising, but fundraising for Trump opponents, like Adam Schiff is one of hers. And she has made, apparently, on social media, very derogatory statements. Jacqueline, call us back because you have more, and I want to hear more. We just are sadly out of time for your call today. Andrew in New Jersey, very quickly, the clock is ticking.
Sex for Kentucky Fried Chicken. That's a new meaning to the phrase, finger licking good. Adam wishes he was locked up in that prison. But
boom. Yeah, hey, Andrew, I'm going to leave it at your joke right there. Thank you much. Jerry in Charleston, we're up time. What is on your mind?
I just want to ask us to stop calling him Joe Biden and call him O Biden, because he's Obama, O Biden.
Ah, he is under the Obama influence. Interesting. We got to go. May God bless and protect each and every single one of you, your families, your loved ones. Love and gratitude for your being here with me and allowing me to be with you. God willing, we are back tomorrow for Bo Snerdly's Rush Hour, the Wednesday edition at 4 p.m. Saturdays, of course, we have the Saturday Morning Radio Extravaganza beginning at 7 a.m. until 10. So then, my friends, bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.